You know, when I was, when the Lord spoke to me to leave my job in May, I remember the day, 6th of May, 1964. The Lord spoke to me clearly from Isaiah 49. But I was a servant and I had to quit. And I was on vacation that time. As soon as I went back to the naval base, and I wrote my letter of resignation the day I went, my senior officer said, "Hey, do you know that you've been selected by Naval Headquarters for the most prestigious course in the Navy that everybody wants to get?" It was like the devil offering me all the riches of this world if I would bow down to him. I didn't even have to think about it. I said, "No, sir. I'm not going to accept it." And that chap said, "You're crazy. So many people long to get this course and here it's come to you in your lap and you throw it away." I said, "Lord, the Lord Jesus has called me to serve him. That's it." You'll find sometimes that when the Lord has called you to something, like King Balak offered something to Balaam, something else comes up. I'm not saying a higher salary is necessarily not God's will. I'm just saying be careful. It may not be money. It may be something else where God's shown you something. And then as you see something more attractive in this world, you choose that. See, for example, I've seen people who are really growing in fellowship and they've got a good job. They have more than enough for their needs, but there's a strange covetousness in them that makes them want to get more and more and more. Not to survive, just raise their standard of living. And then they make their wives to work and end result, children go astray. And 15 years later they say, "Brother, please pray for our children, they were all gone astray." I've seen that happen in CFC. And in some other churches related to CFC. Or it could be something like that where something else becomes more attractive and you put a spiritual reason behind it and you do it and God is not fooled. When they seek for a place, now I realize that sometimes we may get a job in a place where there is no fellowship. I'm not saying that we should always look for a place where there's a good fellowship. But if you have an opportunity to go to a place where there's a good fellowship, with a slightly lesser salary, another place where there's no fellowship, with a higher salary, which would you choose? It's a good question to ask yourself. Remember Balaam? He had to pray again. And you know what God said to him? Go. And you ask, why does God say, go? And then get angry with him for going and put an angel in the way to stop him. Because if you keep on persisting and asking God for something, he'll give it to you. You say, "I can see that that's what you want. Go ahead, have it, go your way." Because God does not force anyone to choose the narrow way. Never, never, never. If he does not see in your heart an eager desire to choose his highest, to choose the best, he will not force you to go that way. Turn with me to a verse in Psalm 106. Do you know the meaning of craving for something? C-R-A-V-E, crave for something. That it's more than asking. It's a desperate desire for something. And it says in Psalm 106 and verse 14, in the wilderness, the Israelites craved for something God had not given them. He gave them manna. They craved for meat. Give us meat. Manna was good enough to keep them healthy. What did God do? They tempted God, it says. They put God to the test. Can you give us meat here in the wilderness where there are no animals? He gave them their request. But along with it, the margin of my Bible says, he sent a leanness, a thinness into their soul. Their soul wasted away. A wasting disease into their soul. But he gave them their request. He said, you're more interested in your body than your soul. Okay, have it. But your soul will suffer. And that's exactly what's happened to a number of people. I think of many people who have come through the years to CFC and been gripped for a while. And then something attracted them. I know brothers who were tremendously gifted. It's not here in Bangalore, but in some other CFC churches where tremendously gifted, and they were going to be great brothers in the church and could have been a great blessing in their state to the other CFC churches, but they wanted more money. And they found that with their preaching gift, they could make money in other churches, whereas in CFC, you can't make any money with your preaching gift. And so with some excuse or the other, they left. And then they joined some other Pentecostal type of church and go off making money in America and different places and then get a lot of money and build their own church building. And they want to still preach our messages to give the impression that they are still preaching the same thing. God is not deceived. He's not deceived by any Balaam. He gives them their request, but from that day onwards, a leanness, a sickness comes into their soul. Be careful that you don't get deceived by the doctrine of Balaam. The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, the Bible says. Not having money. Having money is not a root of all sorts of evil. But loving money, in fact, you see in the same chapter, both those things are mentioned together. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy in chapter 6, we read verse 9. Those who long to get rich, getting rich is not wrong, but those who are great longing, I want to be more and more rich. Listen to God's word. The Holy Spirit says you'll fall into many temptations. You'll fall into a snare. You'll fall into foolish and harmful desires. You'll fall into ruin and destruction. Because, there's a reason, because the love of, not money. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it, not by having it, but by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. See what all dangers there are? Verse 9 onwards. 1. Temptation, snare, foolish desires, harmful desires, ruin, destruction, all sorts of evil, wandering away from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 9 things mentioned in those 2 verses that can happen to a person who makes money his God, pursues it. On the other hand, what should rich people do? Verse 17. Same chapter, just a few verses later. Instruct those who are rich in this world not to give up all their wealth. No. He doesn't say empty your bank account and give it, put it in the offering box. We never teach that, and the Bible doesn't teach that either. Not to be proud, number one. There's a great danger of rich people becoming proud, looking down on people who are poor, and sometimes giving money to poor people in a foolish way by becoming like a benefactor. Here I am, the rich man, you poor brother, sister, here is some money for you. The best way to give money to a poor brother or sister is by not allowing him to know that you gave it. And that is why I've said, that's what the early church did. They put the money in the off marked for the poor, and the elders decided who was more needy and gave it. That way you get no credit, and those who are in need get the money. Those early Christians were wise. They laid the money at the apostles' feet, and the apostles distributed, knowing who is more needy. Otherwise what happens is one poor person gets a lot because he makes everybody know that he's poor. another person who doesn't want to tell anybody he's poor doesn't get anything. So it's always wise to let the elders decide such matters. If you know that somebody's poor, inform the elders so that they can help. But don't be proud. That's one. Second, don't fix your hope on the uncertainty of riches. It's an advice to rich people. Many of you are rich. It was not like that when we started CFC. 42 years ago when we started CFC, nobody had a car. Everybody came to the meetings on a bicycle or by bus. Everyone. I was the only one who had a scooter from my naval days. That's all. But we had such wonderful fellowship. We didn't need money to make us happy. When you opened the offering box in those days, there'd be 2 rupees inside it. Fine. We didn't need more than that those days. We loved one another.